Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two on 670 The Score. We're dissecting the Chicago Bears as the Bears got thumped by the Green Bay Packers Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field, as Jordan Love was simply outstanding for the Green Bay Packers. He brought it 15-27, 245, three touchdowns, sacked only once. I'll tell you, you can have all the stats in the world, and you can always, like, massage stats, and you know, one way or the other, you can make stats look great when they're really not. Well, I'll tell you one stat that's glaring. One quarterback sack. That's disgusting. Anyway, we've got news that Olin Krutz is going to join Mullion Haw at 7. DJ Moore, who caught two passes for, what, 25 yards? He will join Mullion Haw at 8. Brad Biggs, one of my favorites, 9 a.m. with Mullion Haw, right here on 670 The Score. And you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And it's notagameillinois.com. And we appreciate their sponsorship and what they bring Football Monday right here on 670 The Score. And again, as we started off this program at midnight, we're on the air until 5 o'clock. Chuck Swirsky with you, and I thank you so much for staying up. And whether you're just getting off a shift, you're going to work, maybe you're just, you know, coming back from a get-together, or maybe you're just in the car, maybe you're driving a truck right now, and you're keeping us company, and we're keeping you company, we say thank you. But we also, from the bottom of my heart, I can speak for my producer, Tyler Farringle, right here on 670 The Score in the great city of Chicago. Never, ever, 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 ever forget September 11th, period. All right, let's go to John from Dallas. John, how you doing?
Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Good, good, good. So, John.
Always
a pleasure. What's going on?
Listen, first of all, always enjoy your Bulls games. So, wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you.
And
I'll tell you what, I'm fired up for the Bulls. I like Javon Carter. I like Torrey Craig. And if the Bulls can stay healthy, you know, the Eastern Conference took a little bit of a hit. And I still think you got Milwaukee, you got Boston, you know, Philly, depending on where Harden's head is at. You got Cleveland. But, you know, bottom line is we're talking Bears. Go ahead.
Yeah, I blame Ryan Poles. He has not. How do you have all the money he has? Look at the offensive line. I'm so tired of hearing people pulling on Justin Fields. The guy didn't have time. If you just look back there, he didn't have time. You could take Justin Fields. I got 2 points. You can put him on Philadelphia. You can put him on Kansas City. He'll be a great quarterback. He got no offensive line. Number 70, penalties. Didn't block. They did a horrible job. They did not give the guy time. Ryan Poles had the money. He did one signing worth something on defense in Ngakoue. And he did that at the last minute. You need to put the blame where it needs to be. Ryan Poles ain't the worst, but he ain't the best either. He could have done more. He did not do enough.
Well,
and you know what? They
yeah.
set Justin, last thing, they set Justin Fields up to fail, point blank. He's going to fail. I promise you, he's not going to do good this year if the offensive line don't block.
Well, again, you remember Jenkins is going to miss some time with that leg injury, and that did affect the offensive line. I mean, we have to mention that, period. But you're right. I mean, Braxton Jones was simply overwhelmed against the Green Bay Packers. He did not have a good day at the office, and he knows that. So I'm not going to bury the kid, but he did not play well. I mean, he had four of the Bears' seven penalties. Come on. You can't, you just can't, that's not acceptable, okay? It is not acceptable.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to address this. And I don't know what they can do, because I'm sure they're looking around like every NFL team. You know, even after one game, they're saying, listen, we got a little bit of a problem here. And so they're looking at the waiver wire. They're looking at rosters. They're looking at, you know, who got cut, who they can pick up. And it's probably too soon. But if they see this trend continuing, then they're going to have to do something, because this you can't tolerate it. You just can't. So let me ask you a question, John. You still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Are you a Cowboys fan?
No.
Okay.
Lifetime Bears fan.
All right. Did you see the game last night with the Cowboys and Giants?
No, I didn't watch them. I don't watch them.
All right.
I'm a Bears fan.
My kind of guy.
I've been a Bears fan.
All right. Good enough.
I've been a Bears fan all my life.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. All right, that's John calling from Dallas, Texas, the Big D with the star on the helmet, and 40-0 over the Giants. Wow. Travis calling from Pontiac. Travis, what's happening? You're on 670 The Score.
Hi, Chuck. This is Travis. How you been tonight?
I'm doing great, except, you know, I wish we were talking about a Bears win, but we're not.
Yes, we're not.
So, I mean, what disturbs you the most about the game?
What disturbs me the most is it's hard to watch. If I'm a Chicago's fan through and through, I'm a Cubs fan, Blackhawks fan, Bears fan, and a Bulls fan. So when I try to sit down and enjoy the game with my many family members talking smack to me, because that's casual in my household, it's hard to watch. It's hard to sit there and actually try to watch the whole game. I sat for about 5 minutes before I got back up and decided to go play video games.
Yep. Well, again, you know what? I watched the entire game, and I thought Kevin Burkhardt was fantastic. Greg Olsen was great. I'm sorry that Greg Olsen is not going to be on the number one Fox team next year with Tom Brady. And I think, who knows how good Tom Brady's going to be. He could be all world, or he could be a bust, or somewhere in between. But that's not about Tom Brady. It's about Greg Olsen, because anyone who covered the Bears when Greg Olsen played here always knew that he was destined for this business. He could be the next John Lynch, too. He could end up in the front office of a team running an NFL team. That's how good
I
this...
I feel that. I mean, feel the same way.
That's how good Greg Olsen is in the booth. I would hire... If I'm an owner, I'm hiring him as a GM. Honestly, I am. I think he has a great...
Wow.
I think his knowledge is superb. I think because he played the game, he has the mentality of dealing with players, and he also understands the business side of things, because after all, he got peddled by the Bears in one of the worst trades I've seen by this ball club. But that's another story for another day. But I really liked the call today on Fox. I think they did an excellent job with Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi.
Yeah. I also like to add that not every Chicago fan can be blaming this game on Justin Fields, because there's plenty of moments in that game where the receivers and the running backs did not do their job right.
I agree. Listen, this is not all on Justin Fields, but he was a part of it.
Yes.
I mean, you can't sugarcoat the fact that this was an issue. His quarterbacking was not good today.
No, it was not.
But again, you know, you can't point the finger and say he's the reason they lost. This was a collective debacle, and there's no other way of getting around it. Coaching, horrible. Offense, horrible. Defense, horrible. Special teams, horrible. On and on and on. I mean, there was no passion, with the exception of a hit here, a hit there. A guy gets run out of bounds, pushing, shoving, you know, then you get a penalty and all this stuff. And that's fake. Okay. All that stuff. I don't, you know, people are always saying when, hey, listen, they're really into the game. And, you know, look at that offensive lineman back at his quarterback. Great. You know what? That's fine. You'd expect that. But that camouflages the big picture here. They brought nothing, no juice.
You know what, Chuck? I don't think we're going to find anybody who can say anything about this team better than you just did right there.
Well, that's why the show is here, and that's why 670 The Score on Bears Monday. You're going to have a lot of different opinions, probably much more intelligent than me, but I appreciate the call. Thank you.
I'll be tuning in. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you do. Thank you. So, Tyler, do we have the cut right now with Tom Rinaldi? So, Fox, because this was the game of the week, you know, I can only imagine with the producers and directors in the truck, you know, the broadcasters are in the booth, and they got spotters. In other words, they got people behind them, and they're pointing the guy who tackled and the guy who caught the ball. I mean, what a life. All you have to do is like, oh, okay, Smith with the ball, and he carried the ball 4-5 yards because they write him these little notes. And so you got spotters, and then you got stat people, and you got all these people running to get a Pepsi or whatever the case may be. And so, you know, then on the field, you got Tom Rinaldi and you got Aaron Andrews, both very, very good at what they do. So Tom Rinaldi was on the sideline of the Bears. And can we play the clip right now? This is Tom Rinaldi late in the game.
Welcome back to Chicago. The Bears trailing the Packers by 11 here midway through the third quarter. You take a look at those scenes on the bench. That picture just about says it all. You begin to wonder. We know hope's not a strategy. We hear Greg talk about that all the time. Going to break, KB mentioned the juice that's left this building. It isn't much to be found on this bench either. Those expressions speak volumes. And you begin to wonder, Greg, when you had the worst record in the NFL a season ago, you made these moves. You came in with a lot of hope. Hoping to develop something, how much is that beginning to haunt this bench right now? They need a play.
All right, so that is Tom Rinaldi, and he's talking about the fact there was nothing going on, nothing going on. And again, I get it. You know, the Bears were just getting tossed around left and right. But still, you know, who's stepping up? Who's your leader on this ball club? Let's go to Ricardo from Lansing. Ricardo. What's happening?
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
Good, thank you.
You know, I am a lifetime Dallas Cowboys fan, and I watched the Bears game today. You know, I live here in the south suburb of Chicago. And the one thing that struck me the most was the simple fact that the offensive line was not as precise or as a cohesive unit that it should have been to protect Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a phenomenal quarterback. He came from Ohio State, I believe. He has the running capabilities, and he can stretch the field. But he has no offensive line to even give him the opportunity to stretch the plays. There is no way that wrong players can even run that route, you know, the slants or the curls or anything. You know, that's one thing that struck me the most about this whole entire game. It wasn't about the special teams. It wasn't about the defense. Yes, the Bears got outplayed in every single aspect of the game. But the offensive line, from the first time they dropped the ball till they called the end of the game, the offensive line was not superior to give him the benefit of the doubt to be an elite quarterback. I believe Justin Fields could be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the next couple of years. But with this offensive line, the way they built it, is setting him up for failure. And that's something that reminds me of RG3 when he was in Washington. They primarily based him as a running quarterback. And he put him out there running. Some guy's going to knock him out senseless, and he's getting injured. And then who does the Bears have as a backup?
Yeah, well, you know, I think I get what you're saying. I don't think we're going to see that type of Fields of a year ago this season. I think he's got much more around him. He just the offensive play calling today was atrocious. Period. I'm glad you called. Thanks very much. Let's go to James from Las Vegas, home of the Raiders. Hey, how about the Raiders on the road today, huh? James, that was pretty good win.
Yeah, that's just one win, though, Chuck. I mean, we check back at the end of the season.
I get it.
The city get a hold of them, and you know what I mean. But, Chuck, man, you know, Justin Fields, I hear all the callers calling in about Justin Fields. Listen, either you an NFL quarterback or you not. I'm tired of the excuses. I remember Mark Marks a couple years ago gave an interview and said Justin Fields and Trey Lance was not NFL quarterbacks. And I guess San Francisco decided that he wasn't an NFL quarterback and traded him to Dallas. And now you got Purdy playing. I mean, as soon as the Bears come to their senses and trade Justin Fields, the better. Listen, I saw Justin Herbert. He just got drafted a year before Fields, a Pro Bowler, offensive rookie of the offensive player of the year. When he first stepped in the game, his first game, you knew. He was going to be a
Let's pump the brakes a little bit here. He had nothing to work with last year. Look at the roster he had. Justin Fields had last year.
Justin Fields didn't have a great offensive line.
Oh my gosh,
Joe Burrow.
No, James, Burrow, you know what? The jury's still out on Justin Fields. Yes. But let's give this man, they went out, they got him some talent. Now they got to utilize this talent with play calling. And what I saw today was not good, but at least now he's got some mojo, okay?
But what about what Mike Marks said? Mike Marks called
I don't care what Mike Marks says.
With an arm.
I don't care. Like, what has Mike Marks done? He was a coordinator when the Rams won it, right? The greatest show on turf or whatever. With Kurt Warner, I don't care what Mike Martz says. I really don't. I think, you know, what did Mike Martz do as a head coach anywhere? Did he win?
Not.
Okay, I rest my case.
right, okay.
All right, James.
I mean, we give Justin a
thank
a
you.
Little more time.
Give him this season. It's one game. And I know I'm very emotional because I don't like the Green Bay Packers, okay? It's nothing personal, but I just don't like the Green Bay Packers. And I'm disappointed today, last night, whatever you want to call it, that they lost the ball game. They've lost 9 straight to the Packers. And, I mean, taking nothing away from Love, he had a terrific game, and Green Bay was well coached, but I don't like the Green Bay Packers. Simple as that. And but you got to give Justin Fields. Let's see what he can do this year, and then we'll go from there. All right, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. You're listening to Bears Monday on 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And welcome back. We're on the air live until 5 o'clock this morning, getting ready for Mullion Hall. A full Bears Monday right here on your station for everything Bears. And the National Football League, 670 The Score, Chuck Swirsky, Tyler Ferengul, who produced and put together this program. And so Justin Fields, 24-37, he threw a pick, threw a touchdown, got sacked four times. Here's the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus.
What was your assessment of Justin's play today?
I'll have to look at the tape. You know, I have to look at the tape. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. So I want to look at the tape and dive into it before I make any comments on that.
All right, so how many times did he say, Tyler, I want to look at the tape? Three?
At least.
Can we hear it one more time? Okay. This is the head coach of the Bears on Justin Fields' performance today at Soldier Field against the Green Bay Packers.
What was your assessment of Justin's play today?
I'll have to look at the tape.
One.
You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. So I want to look at the tape and dive into it before I make any comments on that.
All right, three. That was, what, about a 10-second clip, Tyler? Is that right?
You got it.
Three times. So when a coach says, I want to look at the tape, I want to look at the tape, there are a lot of things going on.
What was your assessment of Justin's play today?
I'll have to look at the tape, you know. I'll have to look at the tape, you know.
So what does that really mean, okay? Read between those lines. I want to look at the tape. Well, I can't publicly bury my quarterback because I got 16 games left.
There's a lot of things that go into it.
Yeah.
So I want to look at the tape and dive.
And, you know, some of the – I get it. You know what I mean? Really, he does need to look at the tape. Every coach looks at the tape. But it's not like he said, hey, you know, I really like what he did. Or I got to look at the tape. So, and again, listen, this isn't his first rodeo. He knows what's going on, and he knows what the press is looking for, and he didn't bite it. You know, he didn't go for it. He didn't play into the hands of the media. And, you know, so that was a well-schooled, homogenized 10-second reply. Okay, so that's like when you know, somebody walks into Mitch Rosen's office, and Mitch says, I want to look at the tape. I want to hear the tape. I want to go with the tape.
I want to look at the tape.
Yes, that's right. So we should take that now. Can we play that one more time, Matt Eber?
What was your assessment of Justin's play today?
I'll have to look at the tape. You know, I have to look at the tape. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. So I want to look at the tape and dive into it before I make any comments on that.
Yeah. See, that's Mitch Rosen. Okay, that's what he's gonna when he hears the 5 hours that we've been on the air. That's what he's gonna say. All right, 312-644-6767. We got two lines open right now. We're talking Bears, but more importantly, we're talking to you. We're not talking at you. We're not talking around you. We're talking to you. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I don't pretend to be. I'm not smarmy. I'm just me, okay? So I don't have all the answers. But I can tell you, as a fan, and I am Joe Bag of Donuts, watching a game on the couch with Cheetos and you know, my Dr. Pepper and my Pepsi and all that good stuff. And I'm watching the game today, and I was utterly disappointed. It was disgusting that this team was not prepared to play. So, Tyler, who do we go to next? I got a lot of lines here in front of me. Who do you want to go to next? All right, so let's go to Peter from Philadelphia. Peter, good win for the Eagles today over the Patriots. And Tom Brady, of course, a celebration for the Pats today. You think Bill Belichick was thinking to himself, boy, you know, he'd look pretty good in a New England uniform right now, but that's not going to happen. Anyway, Eagles won today. They didn't play a great game, but they played well enough to win, and they're loaded. So, Peter, let's talk about what's going on.
Chuck, how are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
And I hate the coach speak. That just makes me angry. I'm a Bears fan who married into a Philadelphia family, so I root for the Eagles, but I'm a Bears fan. You know, the thing is, I've been trying to do the thing where you watch the line and then let the cameras take you to where the ball is, and sometimes I find it difficult. But I ended up today watching the game on my phone because I was on the train. And the interesting thing about the small screen is that it was really, really easy to just watch the line, or watch the lines on every play, on the snap of the ball, and then let the camera take you to the ball. And, you know, we just got crushed on both lines. So, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. Field wasn't great. Holes, the coaching staff. I mean, nobody played well. But we just got absolutely trounced on both sides of the line. it's what I was worried about, and man, it was almost worse than I was afraid of.
I will agree with you 100%. The play of both lines, offense, defense, it was awful. It was brutal. It was so disgusting because, again, you had one sack, one. And, I mean, it's not like, you know, Jordan Love is ready for the Hall of Fame here. And I don't want to take anything away from this young man. He played a terrific football game today. But you know what? When you get sacked only one time, what's that say? You can say, on one hand, the Packers' offensive line excelled, or you could say the Bears' defense was non-existent.
Yeah, no, take a throw.
And then on the offensive side, I do think the loss of Jenkins is huge for the Bears. No question about it. But you can't have one guy commit four penalties.
No, it was brutal.
It was. So anyway, I'm glad you called. Thank you. Appreciate the call from Philadelphia. And from Philadelphia, let's go to Joliet. Pat is on the line, leaving two lines open now at 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We just heard from Philadelphia. Now we're going to Joliet. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you. I can't wait to hear you and Bill calling games again for the Bulls right around the corner. But I'm glad that you brought up the that clip from that reporter that was on the Bears sideline early in the third quarter. So I'm a Packer fan. I grew up in a family of Bears fans, and I'm the black sheep. But I just wanted to give my take on that part of the game. As a Packer fan watching it, when they showed that Bears sideline, that said it all. The game to me was done right then and there when that whole every guy on that sideline was just sitting there like a bump on a log. And I'm not saying that they all had to be rah-rah, but there has to be some leaders on that Bears team, and it has to at least at the minimum be Justin Fields, whether it's going up and down and just giving the offensive line a pat on the back saying, hey, we're still in this. We're all right. I mean, it was early in the third quarter. There was still a lot of football left. I get they were down big, 24-6. But, I mean, that game was far from over. And then they got that touchdown to Mooney, and that made it 24-14. But I think it was just the lifelessness of that sideline. I mean, the stadium was quiet, but the fact that there was nobody, no leaders, not Justin Fields, not a single guy going up and down that sideline saying, hey, we're still in this, you know. I'm saying that as a Packer fan. You know, I'm glad you know, we won the game.
Believe
but,
me, I hear what you're saying. You know how they always, like, one of the captains, it's usually the quarterback, or it could be another outgoing individual who's charismatic and owns the locker room, where before the game they huddle around him and he starts speaking and he's waving his arms and, you know, he's kind of, his voice starts taking off. And he's bringing the passion, and you think, okay, I get it. You know, that's fine. That's good for 30 seconds on camera. I want to see guys during the course of a game when you're down, and I want to see somebody getting in the face of somebody or at least lifting people up. And I didn't see that today.
Right. I mean, real quick, last thing. Like I said, it was my biggest thing was that it was 12 minutes into the third quarter. You still had a whole lot of football left to play. This wasn't, you know, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're down, you know, 31-6. I mean, it was a three-possession game with almost two quarters of football left. I mean, the Bears make a couple stops. They get a little bit of pressure on Love and make him throw a mistake, you know, after they get that touchdown to Mooney. I mean, that was still a ball game. It was 24-14 in the third quarter. I mean, I by no means thought that that game was over, but when they showed that sideline of every single guy on that bench looking the way they did, I mean, the Packers were already in their heads, and it baffled me. It really did, because, you know, the whole thing with Rodgers being gone, and I, as a Packer fan, we didn't know what Love was going to do. It was a big game for both quarterbacks on the road at Soldier Field, not the game I wanted Love to start his career. I would have much rather had him play, you know, at Atlanta or in New Orleans, really anywhere but at the Bears. I mean, it's a big pressure game. And
yep.
I was just shocked.
Totally get it. Thank you so much. All right, some really good comments, and we're going to go. We're going to have the lines open for the next 24 hours on the Bears, or for that matter, every day, every hour on 670 The Score at 312-644-6767, 312, and again, 644-6767. Before we take a break, I'll run down the NFL scores, and I'll also give you an update on what's going on, because the Cubs, after winning yesterday over the Arizona Diamondbacks, they now play the Rockies. The Cubs trail the Brewers by 3 games in the NL Central. Even though they lost the series, they're 3 behind the Brewers. And again, they got, 2 weeks left, is that right, in the regular season, right, Tyler?
About, yeah, 3.5.
Okay. All right. So there you go. But they've got plenty of time to catch Milwaukee. And the Cubs, actually, even though they're playing .500 ball over the last couple of weeks or so, truth of the matter is Milwaukee isn't playing well at all. They're playing .500 ball over the last 2 weeks. And nobody in this division, Brewers, Cubs, or Reds, are doing anything spectacular over the last week or so. So again, we'll keep you posted with Cubs baseball right here on 670 The Score. Before we take a break, let's run down what happened. The Bears' next opponent, Tampa Bay, winners today on the road over Minnesota, 20-17. Baker Mayfield, 2 touchdown passes. And you know, I've never had the, what do they call it, the Kool-Aid with Kirk Cousins. I'm not buying it. I think he's an above-average quarterback at best. Some of the plays he makes, I'm saying to myself, you got to be kidding me. But anyway, so Tampa Bay in the win column. Atlanta beat Carolina, which is great news for the Bears. The Bears own the Panthers' pick. Bryce Young threw 2 picks for Carolina today. You got Baltimore winner over Houston. But J.K. Dobbins suffered a torn Achilles. He's the running back of the Ravens. That's a big, big loss. Cleveland looked outstanding in the rain. Beat Cincinnati 24-3. Watson with a touchdown pass and ran for another. Joe Burrow, $275 million for 5 years. I think he's guaranteed, what, Tyler, about 220? Something
just
like?
About 220, yeah.
Yeah, and good for him. But he had a career worst, 82 yards. He went 14-31.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, not good. New Orleans, 16-15 over Tennessee. Jacksonville beat the Colts 31-21. Anthony Richardson went 24-37 with 223. He got popped late in the game, and then he didn't return. And when he got popped, And now they say it's his left knee. San Francisco, 30-7 over the Steelers. Christian McCaffrey, you only had 151 on the ground. And let's see, Washington, a winner over Arizona. Anyone cares about that game? Raiders, 17-16 over Denver. Jimmy G with 2 touchdown passes. And let's see, Dallas, 40-0 over the Giants. 40-0. Miami, a winner over the Chargers, 36-34. Tua with 466 yards, 3 TDs in the air. And the Rams beat the Seattle Seahawks 30-13. Matthew Stafford, 334 yards. You know, people are ready to bury Matthew Stafford like he's a chump. He still is a really good quarterback in this league.
I'll tell you what, Chuck, I'm partially guilty of that, too. I wrote the Rams off heavily in this game because they're without Cooper Kupp for the first couple weeks.
They're without everybody.
Wow, they proved him wrong today.
Yep. See, I think that, you know, we talk, I'm sure if you listen to a sports talk show right now in Seattle, they're giving it to the Seahawks like we're going to give it to the Bears. And just like the Giants fans are giving it to the Giants after last night's.
Bengals fans, too.
And Bengals, or yeah, exactly. So I'm saying to myself, like, the Seahawks were home. The Rams aren't that good. I'm sorry, they aren't. And, but again, you know, what was really disappointing, you know, with all the excitement and the energy, and I'm not saying they can't get this back because they can't. It's one game. You got 16 left. But, gosh, I mean, the way they came out, the Bears, and the way they lost, and I thought, you know, maybe they had turned the corner in the third quarter a little bit, and then they just got smacked. All right, 312 644-6767, 312-644-6767. In a moment, we're going to hear the press conference from Justin Fields of the Chicago Bears right here. 670 The Score.
What was your assessment of Justin's play today?
I'll have to look at the tape. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. So I want to look at the tape and dive into it before I make any comments on that.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And we are rocking and rolling, 146 right here on 670 The Score. We're on live until 5 o'clock, and then we'll throw a forward pass. And this will be caught, by the way, from Mullion Haw coming up right here, and they will have plenty to dissect and talk about what happened with the Bears. We got lines open at 312-644-6767, whatever you're doing. Say, I got to call the Swirsk. I want to get on the soapbox and talk Bears football. Well, again, Justin Fields, 24-37, 216, and threw a touchdown, got picked, got sacked four times, 9 rushes, 59 yards, and after the ball game, he met with reporters.
How do you kind of wrap your head around the struggles today offensively and then overall just the performance?
We had a rhythm starting off early, but I think kind of the moral of the story is that we shot ourselves in the foot so many times, you know, pre-snap penalties, false starts, holdings, and then, you know, when you know, we put ourselves in, you know, third and longs, third and 10, third and 15, it's hard to convert on that, you know, for NFL offense, you know. So I think if we just clean that up, keep getting better, then we'll be fine. But we definitely got to put ourselves in a better position, you know, Cole said, and, you know, be locked in each and every play and be present each and every play. So, yeah.
Justin, what were they doing that prevented you from getting other receivers, pushing the ball downfield to other receivers? I know they're shading DJ Moore most of the time, but getting other receivers open downfield, what were they doing that was prohibiting you from doing that?
Moon caught a ball. Right. So, like, what other receivers are you talking about? Necessarily? I'm sorry.
Well, Moon, I know, just had one catch or a couple catches, but it seemed like there was a lot of lateral passes as opposed to...
That was just the game plan. I think just with those, you know, we just got to do better blocking on the perimeter. So, just to set those up, I mean, if you go back and look at the film, if we, you know, block the guys, I mean, those are big chunk plays. Those are 10, 15-yard plays, 10, 15, 20-yard plays. But that was just a game plan, you know. If they weren't going to match, that's all right. We're going to throw it out there and, you know, let our guys work. But didn't do our best at perimeter blocking, you know, blocking on the edge for our guys to catch the ball and run.
Justin, on the touchdown to Darnell Mooney, it looked like you may have adjusted something before it. Or what did you see on that from the defense, and what did you end up doing?
Yeah, I thought I saw cover zero, so I was just, you know, checking the protection. And then I don't know if they checked out late. I don't know if, you know, they did a late rotation, but just checked the protection and got us in a better protection if they would have brought cover zero on that.
So what did you see on the interception?
They were playing cover two. And, my progression was left to right. I should have worked DJ, should have tried to high low the corner over there, but got off of that. And then the two hook defenders, his little gap, Mooney had a basic, and then they closed in. So, I mean, that's on me. I got to, you know, if anything, give DJ a shot on the sideline on that. And, you know, it's him or nobody, or just check the ball down to Roshan or Cole on that. But, yeah, I was just trying to fit in the window. The window closed, and that's what happened.
Overall, knowing how this game kind of got away in the second half, what bothers you most about the offensive performance today?
Just, you know, self-inflicted penalties. Like I said before, it's just, you know, it's hard to have success, hard to, put yourself in a good position to convert on third downs, score in the red zone if, you know, you're hurting yourself. You're first and 15, yeah, third and 10, like, and we were backed up for a good period of the game. So just field position. So I think overall, just got to straighten that up. And then when we do get in the goal zone, we just got to score touchdowns. So, I think that was kind of the most frustrating part, was just, you know, getting backed up, you know, start the drive and then boom, penalty. We get a nice run holding. So it's just, you know, penalties and, you know, self-inflicted wounds.
What are the conversations like with Luke in those moments when you guys are so far backed up, just about trying to give you anything on his play sheet to work out of that?
I mean, of course, the playbook shrinks like that. So I mean, in that situation, you really just want to get one first down so you can open the playbook a little bit more. So, so just got to either, you know, get plays, get the run game going a little bit to get that first down to, you know, open your playbook a little bit more, and then you can start pushing the ball downfield a little bit more.
How did the play just all summer at the start of the game to kind of where the result was?
I mean, yeah, it sucks. It sucks. You know, rivalry week one, going against the Packers, I mean, it sucks, you know. Nobody's in good spirits, but, this one hurts. I'm not going to lie to you. It definitely sucks, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you have to look at the bigger picture. It's week one. We have 16 games to go in the regular season. So, we have a lot of room to improve, a lot of room to grow, and I think that's what we're going to do. As long as we keep that positive attitude, you know, keep just our mentality, just keep going, keep pushing for greatness each and every day, we'll be fine. So, it definitely hurts. Not only because, you know, it's the first game of the season and it's a loss, but it's a loss to, you know, them. So, just want to say, you know, sorry to, you know, the teammates, you know, all the fans that were rooting for us. And, we'll bounce back. We'll be good. So,
how much of the loss opened the foot today do you guys attribute to, or do you attribute to, maybe not playing a lot in the preseason?
That has no correlation. I mean, I see if it was happening during the play, but we should be able to get on the ball and, you know, run the play without, you know, false starting. So, it's just self-inflicted stuff, and, you know, simple stuff that we can fix. It's nothing major. It's just, you know, the little stuff that we can fix, and that we have to be detailed on each and every play. So, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Okay, there you go. That's the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields, talking about his performance, the ball club's performance, some of the issues, especially blocking schemes and what happened. And so the Bears go back to work. They'll look at the film, of course, tomorrow. They'll get Tuesday off, then get ready for Tampa. And again, complete coverage right here on 670 The Score. We've got phone lines open, 312-644-6767. Write this number down, because we're on the air until 5, and then Mully and Haw, and then you'll have Bernstein and Holmes, and then you got Parkinson and Spiegel, and we're all over the Bears today, all right? 312-644-6767. You can also text me right here on 670 The Score. This is Chuck Swirsky. You probably hear me from time to time, hopefully more time than less, right here on 670 The Score with the Chicago Bulls. But tonight I'm filling in this morning, I should say, technically, right here, talking Bears football. Tyler Feringel is our producer. We appreciate Tyler very, very much. And Tyler says, Chuck, let's go to the Lions. Richard Olson wants to get on his soapbox. Richard, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, good morning. I've lost track.
Yes, all of the above. That's all right.
I wanted to comment about a couple of things. And I think the most disappointing thing, and I think I speak for, I'm not a native of Chicago, but I've been here for over 20 years and played college football. So I know a little bit about strategy and game planning. What I thought was disappointing, this didn't look dissimilar from the 2022 Bears. It was almost like Groundhog Day. And let me be specific about that. The offensive line was terrible, not only on just the lack of cohesiveness and really playing together, but silly penalties, holding, false starts, little simple things. Komet, who I consider more of an offensive lineman than a tight end, he can't get open and separate. I know they like him here. They extended him. I think that's a mistake. Hmm. I thought it was a mistake drafting him. I won't get into that.
All right, well, we disagree big time. But go ahead. You're entitled to your opinion. Go ahead.
I'm just giving.
No,
I
get it. You know what? Everyone has an opinion, and I'm not trying to convince you to change your opinion. We just disagree. I think he's a legit tight end in this league.
I didn't say he wasn't legit, but he's not going to be a piece that you're going to build a franchise around. Hmm. And he was the top guy picked in his for the Bears, even though he's a second-round pick. They didn't have a first-round pick. Claypool, same example. They gave up the 32nd pick in the draft for Claypool. Saw him drop a pass. Didn't really do much of anything. to really separate himself as well. A couple other quick things. Fields looked like a rookie to me. You know, when it's really kind of, and maybe it's play calling, to be fair to Fields, one thing I've noticed, and this has happened for probably the last six or seven games, how often do they throw the ball on first down?
Correct.
It's a
good point.
It's a rare. They're run first. The defense plays them. They play them on the run. They're always in second and long or even third and five and can't convert. Third down conversions is really a problem. So maybe that's Eberflus and the offensive coordinator. I don't understand when you're down 21 points why you're running the ball in the fourth quarter and burning clock and not opening the game up to try to get back in the game. I don't understand why they do that.
Yeah, well, how about this? I get you, and you make a valid point, a legit point, a very good point, and it was brought to our attention by Greg Olson. There was no sense of urgency. I mean, no. I don't get it. I mean, you're down. You go to the line of scrimmage. I mean, let's get going. Let's get in the flow, okay? None of that. It just seemed like the entire game, with the exception of a play here and there, this club brought nothing, energy, passion, drive. I didn't see it. And that's disturbing for the opener. This is the NFL opener. This is in Chicago. This is at Soldier Field. This is the Bears and Packers. Come on. I don't get it. All right.
Part of it is, and I'll end with this, and I'm interested in your comments, is they're playing an average Green Bay team, not exactly a juggernaut. And the one thing that I thought was obvious with free agents in the draft, especially free agents, which was a glaring point to me, was the linebackers, which were supposed to be an upgrade, the two they picked up as free agents. If you look at the yardage the Packers got, they can't pass defend. The entire middle of the field was wide open. You couple with the middle of the field being open, linebackers can't cover with no pressure on Love, who hasn't played much at all, less than Fields. I don't understand how you can leave the middle of the field wide open with free agents that were supposed to be upgrades at linebackers. I thought all defense was bad.
Yep. I love the call. Thank you. Good stuff. Appreciate it. All right, let's take a break. We'll have more in a moment as we head into hour number three. We're on the air until 5 a.m. We got 3 hours left talking Bears. If you want to talk Bears, you want to talk about the NFL, we'll do that as well. I mean, if the Bears aren't your thing, you're listening to this and saying, Chuck, you know, I really am a Vikings fan, or I like the Lions, or you know what? Hey, I'm going for the Jets. It's Monday Night Football. I want the Jets and the Bills. Can we talk a little about Aaron Rodgers, or can we, you know, just discuss the Buffalo Bills for a moment? Yeah, we're here, but we're also talking Bears because I think a lot of people are just got fed up for the opener. And again, it's one game. It's one game. I'm not going to bury the ball club and give the Bears their last rights for losing one single football game. But this one hurts because it's against the Bears, against the Packers in the Bears Stadium, and this is the opener, and they lose a home game, a division game, to the Green Bay Packers, who have beaten the Bears 9 straight times. Chuck Swirsky with you on 670 The Score.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And we are rocking and rolling, 146 right here on 670 The Score. We're on live until 5 o'clock, and then we'll throw a forward pass. And this will be caught, by the way, from Mullion Haw coming up right here. And they will have plenty to dissect and talk about what happened with the Bears. We got lines open at 312-644-6767, whatever you're doing. Say, I got to call the Swirsk. I want to get on the soapbox and talk Bears football. Well, again, Justin Fields, 24-37, 216, and threw a touchdown, got picked, got sacked 4 times, 9 rushes, 59 yards. And after the ball game, he met with reporters.
How do you kind of wrap your head around the struggles today offensively, then overall just the performance?
I think we had a rhythm starting off early, but I think kind of the moral of the story is that we shot ourselves in the foot so many times, you know, pre-snap penalties, false starts, holdings, and then, you know, when you know, we put ourselves in, you know, third and longs, third and 10, third and 15, it's hard to convert on that, you know, for NFL offense, you know. So I think if we just clean that up and keep getting better, then we'll be fine. But we definitely got to put ourselves in a better position, you know, Cole said, and, you know, be locked in each and every play and be present each and every play. So, yeah.
Justin, what were they doing that prevented you from getting other receivers, pushing the ball downfield to other receivers? I know they're shading DJ Moore most of the time, but getting other receivers open downfield, what were they doing that was prohibiting you from doing that?
Moon caught a ball. Right. So, like, what other receivers are you talking about necessarily? I'm sorry.
Well, I know just he had one catch or a couple catches, but it seemed like there was a lot of lateral passes as opposed to.
I mean, yeah, that was just the game plan. I think just with those, you know, we just got to do better blocking on the perimeter. So just to set those up, I mean, if you go back and look at the film, if we, you know, block the guys, I mean, those are big chunk plays. Those are 10, 15-yard plays, 10, 15, 20-yard plays. But that was just a game plan, you know. If they weren't going to match, that's all right. We're going to throw it out there and, you know, let our guys work. But didn't do our best at perimeter blocking, you know, blocking on the edge for our guys to catch the ball and run.
Justin, on the touchdown to Darnell Mooney, it looked like you may have adjusted something before it. Or what did you see on that from the defense and what you ended up doing?
Yeah, I thought I saw cover zero, so I was just, you know, checking the protection. And then I don't know if they checked out late. I don't know if, you know, they did a late rotation. But just checked the protection and got us in a better protection if they would have brought cover zero on that.
Justin, what did you see on the interception?
They were playing cover two. And, you know, I think... My progression was left to right. I should have worked DJ. Should have tried to high low the corner over there, but got off of that, and then you know, the two hook defenders. His little gap. Mooney had a basic, and then they closed in. So I mean, that's on me. I gotta, you know, if anything, give DJ a shot on the sideline on that, and you know, it's him or nobody, or just check the ball down to Roshan or Cole on that. But yeah, I was just trying to fit in the window. The window closed, and that's what happened.
Overall, knowing how this game kind of got away in the second half, what bothers you most about the offensive performance today?
Just, you know, self-inflicted penalties. Like I said before, it's just, you know, it's hard to have success, hard to, you know, put yourself in a good position to convert on third downs, score in the red zone if, you know, you're hurting yourself. You're first and 15, yeah, third and 10, like, and we were backed up for a good period of the game. So just field position. So I think overall, just got to straighten that up, and then when we do get in the goal zone, we just got to score touchdowns. So, I think that was kind of the most frustrating part, was just, you know, getting backed up, you know, starting the drive, and then boom, penalty. We get a nice run holding, so it's just, you know, penalties and, you know, self-inflicted wounds.
What are the conversations like with Luke in those moments when you guys are so far backed up, just about trying to give you anything on his play sheet to work out of that?
I mean, yeah, of course, the playbook strengths like that. So I mean, in that situation, you really just want to get one first down so you can open the playbook a little bit more. So I mean, yeah, so just gotta either, you know, get plays, get the run game going a little bit to get that first down to, you know, open your playbook a little bit more, and then you can start pushing the ball downfield a little bit more.
How did the play just all the build up all summer and start of the game to kind of where what the result was?
I mean, yeah, it sucks, you know, rivalry week one, going against the Packers, I mean, it sucks, you know. I mean, nobody's in good spirits, but you know, I mean, this one hurts, I'm not gonna lie to you. It definitely sucks, but you know, in the grand scheme of things, you have to look at the bigger picture. It's week one, we have 16 games to go in the regular season, so you know, we have a lot of room to improve, a lot of room to grow, and I think that's what we're going to do. As long as we keep that positive attitude, you know, keep you know, just our mentality, just keep going, keep pushing for greatness each and every day, we'll be fine. So, but it, I mean, it definitely hurts. Not only because, you know, it's the first game of the season and it's a loss, but it's a loss to, you know, them. So, just want to say, you know, sorry to, you know, the teammates, you know, all the fans that were rooting for us. And, but, you know, we'll bounce back. We'll be good. So
much of the close up in the foot today, do you attribute to maybe not playing a lot in the preseason?
That has no correlation. I mean, I see if it was happening during the play, but we should be able to get on the ball and, you know, run the play without, you know, false starting. So it's just self-inflicted stuff, and you know, simple stuff that we can fix. It's just it's nothing major. It's just, you know, the little stuff that we can fix, and that we have to be detailed on each and every play. So yeah, appreciate you.
Okay, there you go. That's the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields, talking about his performance, the ball club's performance, some of the issues, especially blocking schemes and what happened. And so the Bears go back to work. They'll look at the film, of course, tomorrow. They'll get Tuesday off, then get ready for Tampa. And again, complete coverage right here on 670, The Score. We've got phone lines open, 312-644-6767. Write this number down, because we're on the air until 5, and then Mully and Haw, and then you'll have Bernstein and Holmes, and then you got Parkins and Spiegel, and we're all over the Bears today, all right? 312-644-6767. You can also text me right here on 670 The Score. This Chuck Swirsky, you probably hear me from time to time, hopefully more time than less, right here on 670 The Score with the Chicago Bulls. But tonight I'm filling in, this morning I should say, technically right here talking Bears football. Tyler Feringle is our producer. We appreciate Tyler very, very much. And Tyler says, Chuck, let's go to the Lions. Richard Olson wants to get on his soapbox. Richard, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, good morning. I've lost track.
Yes, all of the above. That's all right.
No, I wanted to comment about a couple of things. And I think the most disappointing thing, and I think I speak for, I'm not a native of Chicago, but I've been here for over 20 years and played college football. So I know a little bit about strategy and game planning. What I thought was disappointing, this didn't look dissimilar from the 2022 Bears. It was almost like Groundhog Day. And let me be specific about that. The offensive line was terrible, not only on just the lack of cohesiveness in really playing together, but silly penalties, holding, false starts, little simple things. Komet, who I consider more of an offensive lineman than a tight end, he can't get open and separate. I know they like him here. They extended him. I think that's a mistake. I thought it was a mistake drafting him. I won't get into that.
All right, well, we disagree big time. But go ahead. You're entitled to your opinion. Go ahead.
I'm just getting.
No,
I get it.
You know what? Everyone has an opinion, and I'm not trying to convince you to change your opinion. We just disagree. I think he's a legit tight end in this league.
I didn't say he wasn't legit, but he's not going to be a piece that you're going to build a franchise around. Hmm. And he was the top guy picked in his for the Bears, even though he's a second-round pick. They didn't have a first-round pick. Claypool, same example. They gave up the 32nd pick in the draft for Claypool. Saw him drop a pass, didn't really do much of anything to really separate himself as well. A couple other quick things. Fields looked like a rookie to me. You know, when it's really kind of, and maybe it's play calling, to be fair to Fields, one thing I've noticed, and this has happened for probably the last 6 or 7 games, how often do they throw the ball on first down?
Correct.
It's a
good point.
It's a rare. They run first. The defense plays them. They play them on the run. They're always in second and long, or even 3rd and 5, and can't convert. Third down conversions is really a problem. So maybe that's Eberflus and the offensive coordinator. I don't understand when you're down 21 points why you're running the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And burning clock and not opening the game up to try to get back in the game. I don't understand why they do that.
Yeah, well, how about this? I get you, and you make a valid point, a legit point, a very good point, and it was brought to our attention by Greg Olson. There was no sense of urgency. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, you're down. You go to the line of scrimmage. I mean, let's get going. Let's get in the flow, okay? None of that. It just seemed like the entire game, with the exception of a play here and there, this club brought nothing, energy, passion, drive. I didn't see it. And that's disturbing for the opener. This is the NFL opener. This is in Chicago. This is at Soldier Field. This is the Bears and Packers. Come on. I don't get it. All right.
Part of it is, and I'll end with this, and I'm interested in your comments, is they're playing an average Green Bay team, not exactly a juggernaut. And the one thing that I thought was obvious with free agents in the draft, especially free agents, which was a glaring point to me, was the linebackers, which were supposed to be an upgrade, the two they picked up as free agents. If you look at the yardage the Packers got, they can't pass defend. The entire middle of the field was wide open. You couple with the middle of the field being open, linebackers can't cover with no pressure on Love, who hasn't played much at all, left than Fields. I don't understand how you can leave the middle of the field wide open with free agents that were supposed to be upgrades at linebackers. I thought all defense was bad.
Yep. I love the call. Thank you. Good stuff. Appreciate it. All right, let's take a break. We'll have more in a moment as we head into hour number three. We're on the air until 5 a.m. We got 3 hours left talking Bears. If you want to talk Bears, you want to talk about the NFL, we'll do that as well. I mean, if the Bears aren't your thing, you're listening to this and saying, Chuck, you know, I really am a Vikings fan, or I like the Lions, or you know what? Hey, I'm going for the Jets. It's Monday Night Football. I want the Jets and the Bills. Can we talk a little about Aaron Rodgers, or can we, you know, just discuss the Buffalo Bills for a moment? Yeah, we're here, but we're also talking Bears because I think a lot of people are just got fed up for the opener. And again, it's one game. It's one game. I'm not going to bury the ball club and give the Bears their last rights for losing one single football game. But this one hurts because it's against the Bears, against the Packers in the Bears Stadium, and this is the opener, and they lose a home game, a division game, to the Green Bay Packers, who have beaten the Bears 9 straight times. Chuck Swirsky with you on 670 The Score.